For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Okay, we're dedicating tonight's shiur for the speedy, safe return of Yaakov Naftali ben Rachel Devoira, Gilad Michael ben Bat Galim, and Eyal ben Iris Teshura. May they be redeemed, may we be redeemed immediately. We should have good news, only good news.
Right.
So this week's parasha is Koirach. Koirach is usually read as we approach the month of Tammuz. This year it's Shabbos Mevorchim Tammuz, sometimes it's Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, sometimes it could already be in the month of Tammuz, but Koirach is associated with the month of Tammuz. Tammuz, on the surface, is a very difficult month for the Jewish people. This is the month in which the walls of Yerushalayim were breached, the luchais were broken, the egel, the story of the egel occurred, Karban Tamid stopped, Sefer Torah was burnt, an Avodah Zarah was placed in the Beis HaMikdash, as the Mishnah enumerates the events of Tammuz, of Shavuot B'Tammuz and Tainus, a Masechta that has now begun, those who are doing Daf Yomi. So Koirach, therefore, is a parasha that is connected to Tammuz. In what way? Every parasha we know has a number, amount of psukim, and a word to remember how many psukim the parasha has, as sometimes we go through here. The number, the amount of psukim for parashas Koirach is 95. And the word to remember it, interestingly, is Daniel. Daniel is equal to 95. That's how many psukim parashas Koirach has. What is the connection between Koirach and Daniel? The Haftorah this week is from Shmuel, and it's about Shmuel Hanavi rejuvenating the kingship. So what's the connection between Shmuel Hanavi and Parshas Koirach? The obvious connection is the similar words, similar phrases that Shmuel uses when rebuking the Jewish people, as Moshe Rabbeinu does when rebuking Koirach. That's probably the real reason why the Haftarah was chosen, but everything has many, many reasons, and we can offer other interpretations as to what the connection between the parasha and the Haftarah is. So what is that? Now, the obvious question that everyone asks, just like last week we discussed at length the Meraglim and what's really going on, the same question is asked here. What is going on? What is happening here? Koirach is no simpleton. Koirach is no fool. Rashi himself brings from Chazal, Koirach shepikeya choya ma ro'a l'shtuzze. Koirach was an intelligent individual. It's interesting that Chazal used the word pikeach. You don't usually find that word. They'll say tzadik, kosher. Here they use the word pikeach, and they call what he did a shtus. Shtus means a foolishness, not necessarily a wickedness. If anything, it should have said ma ro'a l'rishuzu, machloikezu. Chazal chose the word shtus, and they refer to him as a pikeach. The Medrash says he was mitoyanei ha'orayim. As we know, he was from those who carried the orayim. He's from the B'nai Ka'os. And Koirach was even older than Moshe Rabbeinu. Koirach was definitely on a very high madrega, the horaya. As this machloikus is taking place, Rashi quotes from Chazal that he saw Beruach HaKodesh, who was going to come out of him. He saw Shalsheles Gedoyla Yoytse Mimenu. He saw Shmuel Hanavi coming out of him. Einai Hitosai, Rashi says. His eyes fooled him. He saw this huge chain of great tzaddikim coming out of him. Shmuel, who is equated to Moshe and Aaron, 24 Mishmarais he saw in the future coming from his family, Leviim, that are going to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. He said, clearly, look what's coming out of me. I'm going to win here. Now, how can that be if Koirach is a Rasha that he had Ruach HaKodesh while he's in the midst of a Machlaikas. He has Ruach HaKodesh. That's very strange that a Baal Machlaikas or a Rasha has Ruach HaKodesh. So clearly Koirach is not who we think he is. At least on the surface, the Parsha seems to indicate that Koirach, Dasan and Aviram were Rishoyim. Clearly they were very great people. As mentioned many times, the Torah does not talk about people unless they're really very great. It's just for their Madrega, they were considered wicked, but if they'd be living today, there's no question that they'd surpass anyone. And in fact, as the Shaloh HaKadosh brings down in this week's parasha, Koirach will be the Kohen Gadol in the future. He says with the famous Sadik HaTama Yifrach HaSoifet Heves Koirach, that he will be the future Kohen Gadol. He will be the future Kohen Gadol. The Baal Machlaikas, the one who the Mishnah says, Ezoihi Machlaikas Shehishalayla Shem Shamayim Zu Machlaikas Koirach V'Adosai, who swallowed up alive into Gehenna, as the Pasuk says. Here the Shaloh HaKadosh says he's still alive and suffering in Gehenna. Not dead, he's alive, he never died. It says, V'yardu Chayim Sha'ila. That's a terrible punishment that, at least according to this, he's still alive, so his body feels the punishment, not just his neshama, his body feels the punishment. And yet, the same Shaloh HaKadosh says that he is going to be the Kohen Gadol Asid Lavei, Tzadik HaTama Yifrach HaSeifet Tevis Koirach. So that makes it very confusing then. So what are we dealing with here? What's happening here? On the one hand, the Torah chastises Koirach V'Adosai very, very seriously here. And you see the punishment that they receive. They're swallowed up. They're burnt. Some say Koirach was both swallowed and burnt to some degree. And other punishments that are mentioned here. And yet, we find, especially in the Sifri Chassidus, Sifri Kabbalah, Shaloh HaKadosh, and others, that Koirach is very, very great and will be right in the future. So what is happening here? In previous years, we went into this a little bit, or Barichas perhaps, and we'll talk a little about it again, but maybe with new details. The Shaloh HaKadosh brings down that Koirach was a nitzutz of Kayin. And Kayin was the first to display jealousy in the human race. We find that Kayin was jealous of Hevel, and he ends up killing Hevel. Before that, there was also jealousy. The snake, the Nachash HaKadmoini, was jealous of Chava, of Adam and Chava, as Rashi brings down in Bereshis, Ra Oysam Arumim. And his Avila, his plan was that to have Adam killed so he could marry Chava. And all the evils of the world are because of that chet etz hadas, which originates with an act of jealousy. Kayin kills Hevel because of jealousy. We know even before that, the moon was jealous of the sun. The moon was makatreg, e'efshel l'shnei melachim she'ishtam shuv'keser echad. And because of that, the moon was miniaturized, and that's miyot hayareach, is also the source of all negativity in the world. Later on, Yosef and the brothers, Vayikanu by Echav, that was also a display of jealousy there. And Ad Hayayim, till today, we suffer from that. Hakina v'hatayva v'hakovim matzien es adam in ha'olam. Kina leads to sinna leads to kina, and that causes sinna schinam, that causes lashon hara, and that brings to churban, and that is the reason why the Beis Hamikdash is still in the destructive state. So it's all because of kina. Until kina is rectified, the Beis Hamikdash is not built. And we are in Golus. And that's why there's a Tammuz. And that's why there's a Shavasa B'Tammuz. Koirach was also jealous. Rashi brings here, Neskane al Nesiyusoy shel Alitzofan ben Uziel. Koirach was jealous that his younger cousin was appointed Nasi, when he was older, and he was from the second child of Amram. Amram had four children, Kos, Yitzhar, Chevron, Uziel. So Koirach says it makes sense that Amram was the oldest, so his two children should have the kingship and the Kaimuna Gedaila. But I'm from the second son. I'm the Bechor of Yitzhar. So if anything, I'm next. Why do you skip over my family and you go to Uziel, who was the youngest, and you appoint Elitzofan? And we know what happened here. We're not going to go through all the details. He took 250 Roshe Sanhedrin. It's another interesting fact. These were not simpletons. These were not the lower class who joined Koirach. The Roshe HaYeshiva joined Koirach. The Gedolei Yisrael joined Korach in their machlokes against Moshe Rabbeinu. Not the low class, not the simpletons, but the greatest ones. Rashi says, Elitzur ben Shedeur v'Chaveirav, the Nasi of Reuven, and his contemporaries, they're the ones that Korach gathered together in his machlokes against Moshe Rabbeinu. So, what did they see in Korach that they joined them? Especially, this was an outright machlokes against Moshe Rabbeinu, a clear dispute of machlokes. So, the Svarim tell us that Korach was no simpleton at all. Korach was on a very, very high madrega, and Korach thought that it was already the Olam HaTikun. Korach thought that the world has already attained perfection. And in a world of perfection, there are no boundaries. There's no Kohanim, Leviim, Yisraelim. Ki chol ha'eda kulam kedoshim uvesaycham Hashem, Korach cries. Everyone is holy. We're all holy. We all heard the same Aseres HaDibris. We all heard Anoichi v'leyel from Yipia Gavura. Why does Korach think that? What bothers Korach is a number of things. What bothers Korach, first of all, is the entire Shevet Levi was spared. The entire Shevet Levi had absolutely nothing to do with the Chet HaEgel or with the Chet HaMeraglim. And the reason for the Bechaira being demoted, the reason why Bechaira was lost, the reason why the Avodah is no longer by the firstborns is because of Chet HaEgel. So, therefore, Chet HaEgel causes that the firstborns in every family are no longer going to serve, and now Hashem chose the Leviim, the Kohanim. What bothers Korach is, why is there a distinction first between the Kohanim and the Leviim? The entire Shevet Levi, Rashi himself brings it in Parshas Kisisa, Vayeosfo Elof Kol B'nei Levi Mikamshe Kol HaShevet Kosher, Rashi says. The entire Shevet were pure and perfect. None of them sinned by the Chet HaEgel. There was no representative of Shevet Levi who went as a meragel during the story of the meraglim, as we read last week. So Korach is very upset. Why is there such a thing as Kohanim and Leviim? If anything, the entire Shevet, everyone should be the same. We should all be Kohanim, or we should all be Kohanim Gedolim. The way it was supposed to be, had the Chet HaEgel not been committed. As we know, Yatem Tihi Yuli Mamlechas Kohanim, the Baal HaTurim brings down, that originally the plan was that every Jew is a Kohen Gadol. There would not be such a thing as different levels. We'd all be on the same level, and that's how it's going to be in the future. Ki kulam yeidu oisi, the pasuk says in Yeshaya v'lo yelamdu oid ish esrei'ehu. There's no longer going to be different levels of scholarship, Elyon, Tachton, everyone's going to be on the same madrigas. Asda Kodesh Baruch Elasis Mochel at Tzadikim. Rav Tzadik brings it down in this week's parasha, that in the future all the Tzadikim are going to be in a circle, and the Shechin is going to be in the middle, and everyone's going to point with their fingers, as the Masechta Tainis that everyone's learning now ends with that. Those who do Daf Yomi, Masechta Tainis ends with Asda Kodesh Baruch Hu Lasses Machul Tzadikim Lasid Lavoi Yuchol Echad VeEchad Marav BeEtzboi VeOimer Zeh Shenemar Hine Elikenu Zeh Kivinu Levi Yoshienu Zeh Hashem Kivinu Levi Nogilav Nisbcha Bishuazoi. That everyone's going to be able to point. Everyone's on this on a circle. Everyone's equal. Everyone's equidistant from the midpoint, and everyone's going to point with their finger, meaning it's going to be a time where the Amech Kulam Tzadikim, everyone is on a high madrega, and that's what Korach thought should be now too. Now, one might ask, well, okay, that's Shevet Levi, you can understand, it bothered Korach, why should he be a Levi and Aaron be a Kohen Gadol? And clearly he was disputing the Kohuna Gedoyla. He wasn't disputing so much Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't a Kohen. Moshe Rabbeinu certainly wasn't the Kohen Gadol, only during the Shmini Shiva Semeach Miluim, according to one Randy Amar. But what bothers Korach is, what do you mean Levi? I'm a Kohen, why should I be a Levi? The entire Shevet Levi is the same here, but what's really happening is here, here's where Shevet Levi is going off. Shevet Levi joins Korach. The entire Shevet joins Korach. As we read here, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Shimuna b'nei Levi, Vayayna Moshe el Korach, Shimuna b'nei Levi, because the entire Shevet Levi joined with Korach, believing that what Korach said is true. And they're not arguing for the sake of arguing here. They're arguing because they really felt that they wanted this Kahuna Gedoyla, they wanted Kahuna, they want to be able to serve Hashem in the Mishkan, it's all because they want to be as close to Hashem as possible. That's what they're fighting about. They're not fighting about materialistic aspirations here. They're fighting about spirituality. Korach also believes that the Chet HaEgel has been rectified. The Mishkan has been built. The Shechina has returned to Klal Yisrael. The fact that the Shechina returned to Klal Yisrael, doesn't that indicate that the Chet HaEgel has been rectified? If the Chet HaEgel has been rectified, it's the Olam HaTikun. There's no longer any reason for there to be distinctions and differences and, this, and segments. Klal Yisrael should be all one. And this is what Korach was fighting about, and that's how it's going to be. The issue at hand, though, is not now, though. Not yet. It's not true. It's not the Olam HaTikun. And Moshe Rabbeinu is saying this clearly to Korach. You're rushing it, and you're doing the same chait as many have done in the past, and as many have done after that, trying to make things happen before they're supposed to happen. Physically, at least. We find this with Reuven. Reuven, who represents Chodesh Tammuz. Chodesh Tammuz is Keneged Reuven. We know all the months correspond to the Shvatim. So every month is another Sheva. There are 12 months, there are 12 Shvatim. Teaches us the Arizal that Chodesh Tammuz is the Chodesh HaRevi'i, and Reuven was the one who traveled forth in the desert. Although Reuven is the Bechor, Reuven lost the Bechor. And Reuven lost the Bechor because of an act of impulsiveness. Also, he rushed. He did something without thinking it out. He rushed into it. That's the famous Pachas Kamayim Al Toysar Ki Olisa Mishkevei Olicha. Pachas means impulsive, rushing, like Rashi says, like rushing waters. Because Reuven was upset with his father. He was upset that Yaakov pitched his tent. Yaakov put his bed, rather, in the tent of Bilhah after Rachel's death, and not in the tent of Leah. Now, this also wasn't just a simple moving of the bed. Reuven knew that Yaakov's bed is the Shechina, as Yaakov himself says, "As chilalta yitzui," the Shechina that rests on my bed. The Baal HaTurim brings down in a few places in Parshas Vayetze and in Parshas Chayesara that the tents of the Avos and the Imahos correspond to the Batei Hamikdash. He brings down in Chayesara that it says the word Oihela 8 times, Vayviyeha Yitzchak Oihela, refers to the 8 places, beginning with the Mishkan and the Midbar, ending with the Beis Hamikdash HaShlishi, that all were the tents for the Shechina. The same he brings in Parshas Vayetze, when Lavan went, from one tent to the other, looking for the trophim that Rachel stole. So there the Baal HaTurim brings down, the Oyeleya refers to the Beis HaMikdash that was built by Shlomo HaMelech, who's a descendant of Leah. So too, the third Beis HaMikdash will be built by Mashiach, who's a descendant of Leah, a descendant of Yehuda. Oyel Rachel, that's Mishkan Shiloh, because that's where, that was built in the portion of land of Yosef, who comes from Rachel. Even though Binyamin also comes from Rachel, and the Beis HaMikdash is built in the portion of the land of Binyamin, so they intertwine. So what's really happening here is Reuven felt that the Shechina doesn't belong in the tent of Bilhah, who is the mother of Dan and Naphtali from the lower Shvatim. The Shechina belongs in the Oihel Leah, which is, represents the Beis HaMikdash Rishon, the HaMikdash HaShlishi. When what Reuven is trying to do here is bring the Geula. Pasuk says there in Parshas Vayishlach that they traveled from Vayet Aholoi Meholol Migdal Eder. And right after that it says is where Reuven moved the bed. So Targum Yonason over there says Migdal Eder is the place where Mashiach will be revealed at the end of time. In Migdal Eder. There are many great tzaddikim that when they went to Eretz Yisrael, they would go to Migdal Eder and spend some time there, knowing what is supposed to happen in Migdal Eder. The Gilui of Mashiach is supposed to be in Migdal Eder, which is not for now, a different time. The Targum Yonason brings it down over there on that pasuk, and right after that is where this occurs. Vayisa Yisrael, vayet oholoi meholol migdal Eder, vayihi b'shkoin Yisrael b'oretz ha'i, vayelech Reuven, vayishkav es bilo pilegesh oviv. We just passed the place of Gilui HaMashiach. So Reuven says, why is my father's bed in Bilhah's tent? It belongs in Leah's tent. It belongs in the mother, the matriarch of Shevet Yehuda, of the future Beis HaMikdash, for the Beis HaMikdash HaShlish, the Beis HaMikdash Rishon that time. So what Reuven was doing was also a very, very lofty act, besides that he was being Taivea Elbein Imai, besides that he was very concerned about his mother Leah, his mother's embarrassment, but it was an act of Pechizus, Pachas. It was without thinking. It was done on impulse. And that's what was wrong. And because of that act, as lofty as it is, Reuven loses three great mailos that he could have had. The kahuna, the malchus, and the bechaira. Unkel is clearly on the pasuk. Yeses se'es v'yesa oz. Unkel says that Reuven lost all three. He's no longer the bechor. So already then, Reuven loses the bechaira because of an act of pachas. The same thing happens with Kairach. Kairach claims that the world has already reached its perfection. It's already the Olam HaTikun. It's time for the Geula already. There's no reason that there should be Kohanim, Leviim, Yisraelim. Everyone is the same. Not true. It's not the time yet. And we know when things happen before their time, that can be very dangerous. Now, Reuven, we know Reuven also made a very interesting statement also, which showed some sort of impulsiveness in Parshas Miketz. In Parshas Miketz, Reuven says to Yaakov, who doesn't want to let the Shvatim go back down to Mitzrayim again, because Shimon was in captivity, and he's afraid what's going to happen to Binyamin. He says, I'm not sending them down. Finally, they tell him, you better do it, because they're running out of food. So first, Reuven says, as shnei bonai tomis im lo yavienu eilecha. If I don't bring Binyamin back, you can kill my two children. What did he mean exactly? And Rashi says that Yaakov said, v'chor shoita huzeh. Again, the word shoita, like over here, mara kairach l'shtuzeh. What a fool he is. He tells me to kill his children. Are they his children and not mine? Now, it's very interesting, because this is very much related to this week's parasha. And a very interesting chap that you see in this parasha, Kairach and Dosan and Aviram are swallowed up. Dosan and Aviram epitomize, in Chumash at least, the most wicked amongst Klal Yisrael. They're called the Rishoyim. Surunam al ohole ho anoshim, or Rishoyim ho eile. And according to one opinion, at least in Sanhedrin, ein lehem chelek lo oilem habav, the entire Adas Kairach, vayoivdu mitoich hakohol. But Rabbi Akiva says not like that. Rabbi Eliezer says not like that. That's not true. They do have oilem haba. Chana, mother of Shmuel Hanavi, already davened for them. And she said, moirid she'oil vayoal, that those who went down into Gehenna are going to come up. And the Shalot indicates that Vayoal, or others also indicate this, Vayoal is a Lashon Ovar, as if it happened already. They already got their tikkun. Moirid Sha'ol Vayoal is clearly going on Kairach and on Dosan Va'aviram, which would indicate that even Dosan and Aviram have a tikkun too, which we mentioned here many times with the Tiferes Shleimer, the Radomska writes that Dosan and Aviram will have a tikkun Va'asid Lovay as well. When Reuven said, as Shnei Bonai Thomas, says the Baal HaTurim in Parshas Miketz, that brought about later that Dosan and Aviram was swallowed up. Because Dosan and Aviram are descendants of Reuven. The first pasuk here in Parshas Kairach, Vayikach Kairach ben Yitzhar ben Kohos ben Levi, the Dosan and Aviram b'nei Eliyah v'ayin men Peles, who are all b'nei Reuven. So Dosan and Aviram are grandchildren of Reuven. They are descendants of Shevet Reuven. When Reuven said, as Shnei Bonai Tomis, says the Baal HaTurim and Parshas Miketz here in this pasuk, he quotes another pasuk in Eiv, which says, Upoiset Tomis Kina. And he says, the Medrash says that that pasuk is going on Adas Kairach, of whom it says about them that they were jealous, because Reuven said, Shnei Bonai Tomis, it happened. Because kilal as chacham afilu al tanai yibar. The Gemara says it about Yehuda. Yehuda said to Yaakov, I'll bring him back, and if I don't, I lose my olam haba, he said. And that's what Yaakov gives in to that. Yaakov says, okay, if you're willing to do that, I'll let Binyamin go. And even though he brings Binyamin back, Chazal tells us in Makkos, it took a long time until Yehuda got to Gan Eden. Because he cursed himself. He said, even though it was al tanai and it didn't happen, he did bring Binyamin back, because Gemara says, we learn out from there, kill as chacham afilu al tanai hi ba. So there was an interim period where Yehuda was out of Gan Eden until Moshe Rabbeinu davens for him in Parshas Vezois HaBracha. Vezois LeYehuda, Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda Ve'al Amay Tivienu. As the Gemara darshens, that every few words that Moshe said, the bones joined together. Then he was allowed back, and he was allowed into Gan Eden. He was able to get into the Masifta de Rakia. So he lost his Olam Haba for a short period of time. What about what Reuven said? Reuven said Shnei Bonai Tamis. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh speaks about it in Parshas Miketz. The Orach Chaim said, says, Vayan Reuven Oysom Lamor. He says, the Lamor doesn't belong here. Vayan Reuven Elav of Lamor. That's Shnei Bonai Tamis. So the Orach Chaim tries to learn from this pasuk. He didn't really say it. He just indicated Shnei Bonai Tamis. He didn't say it straight out. The Orach Chaim talks about it. But the Mefarshim, the Am Mefarshim and the Baal HaTurim, who they say they never found this medrash on this pasuk of Poisa Tamis Kena, but they say obviously the Baal HaTurim was hinting to the fact that Kilas Chochma Filu Al Tanai Hibo. So the fact that Reuven said Shnei Bonai Tamis, something had to happen. What happened? Dasan and Aviram died. Dasan and Aviram are killed in this week's parasha. What's the connection though? So why should they die? Because Reuven said Shnei Bonai Tamis. So with this we can understand that Reuven is, his midah, unfortunately, was pachas. He was a tzaddik and a kadosh elyon, but Reuven was impulsive. So Reuven loses the bechayra. And the month of Tammuz corresponds to Reuven. Tammuz is the month in which the egel occurred. The egel was also an act of impulsiveness. They rushed to make the egel because they didn't want to wait till tomorrow and he'll come back. Aaron said, wait one more day. They had no patience. They couldn't wait. Another act of pachas. And therefore Tammuz loses out. Tammuz is supposed to be the month that was supposed to get the first luchas. In the month of Tammuz, Shivasa b'Tammuz was the day when Moshe Rabbeinu came down with intent to give us the luchas or rishonis, which the Gemara says in Erevin, that if the luchas were given to us, there would have been no golus, there would have been no misa, there would be no shibud malchi, as the Gemara says in Erevin, had we received those first luchas ul-molei, loy nishtabru ha-luchas, loy sholat b'hem umma v'loshoyim. So the Luchas Rishonis, that's the culmination of Matan Torah, the 40 days end, Shivasa B'Tammuz, that's when the Tikkun HaSholem was supposed to be in the month of Tammuz Dafka. Tammuz loses because of Chet HaEgel, an act of impulsiveness. Reuven loses the Bechayra because of Pachas Kamayim. Reuven says, Shnei Bonai Tamis without thinking. Dasan and Aviram later died, because Dasan and Aviram joined Kairach in an act of pachas, in trying to bring the Geula before it's supposed to be the Geula. In trying to bring about the Olam HaTikun before this man. But there is hope for Dasan and Aviram, because Yaakov Avinu says so. If we look closer at what Rashi quotes there from the Midrashim, that Yaakov said, V'chi bonov heim veloi bonai. Who's he talking about? He's talking about Dasan and Aviram. That means he's calling Dasan and Aviram Bonai. Yaakov already was misaking Dasan and Aviram by saying that. This fits very well with the Orach Chaim at the beginning of this week's parasha Hayadua. Anyone who didn't learn it should look it inside. It's a Meir the Orach Chaim HaKadosh where he teaches the Gemara, where it says at the first pasuk, Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kohos ben Levi, and the Gemara asks, why doesn't it say ben Yaakov? So we know what Rashi brings of it, that Yaakov was mispalled, that his name should not be mentioned. B'kholam al teichat kevaydi. Literally that means, he doesn't want his name associated at all with the machlokes of Korach. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh translates it totally different, because the Gemara darshes on every one of these names another step down. Ben Yitzhar, Hirtiach es ha'olam kitzaharayim, Ben Kohos shekihei shinayim, Ben Levi shem nislavel legehenim. And then the Gemara asks, why doesn't the pasuk say Ben Yaakov she'okav Atzmoy legehenim? Says the Orach Chaim, if it would say Ben Yaakov in the pasuk, then Korach would have had no tikkun whatsoever, because that would have meant that the pagam of Korach was so great that it reached the Shoyrish. It went all the way to Yaakov, and then he would be cut off from Yaakov. If you're cut off from Yaakov, then there's no hope. Yaakov is being misspelled with his name not being mentioned, and not because he's disassociating himself with Korach. Besides that, he's being misspelled that Korach should be able to have a tikkun. So by keeping his name out, that means that Korach's pagam only went up to Levi. It didn't go up to Yaakov. It didn't go to the Shoyrish. So in Shoyrish, there's still a tikkun for Korach. Same thing with Bechor Shaita, who's Yaakov says about Reuven. V'chi bonov heim v'loi bonai. Who's he talking about? Dasan and Aviram. So who cares? Shnei bonai Thomas. Let them die. No. Yaakov is being misakin dasan and aviram. That's why the words das moirid sha'oil vayoal is begamatria dasan va'aviram. In fact, dasan va'aviram is begamatria tshuva. Tshuva helps even for dasan va'aviram. That's what we see in this parasha. In this parasha, we see a tikkun even for the lowest Jew. The fact that dasan and aviram joined Koirach, and Koirach in the first pasuk, his genealogy only goes up to Levi and not to Yaakov, because he does not, his chait, as bad as it was, does not go all the way to the Shoirish. Yaakov himself bikesh legalos hasakeitz. Yaakov himself also wanted to do such a thing like Koirach wants to do. What's interesting is the Avodas Yisrael, the Koshnetz Magid, used to say, he brings it down in the Sefer a number of times, that it's a minug that people, by a chasana, by a shidduch, they vinch on, that the zivug should be oile yofe. What does that mean? The zivug should be oile yofe. Literally, the match should be a wonderful match. In ve'agefen, bin ve'agefen, should have binyan ad-deyad, and so on. Okay. So he asks, what's the word yofe? Now, if one takes a look in the first pasuk of Parashas Koirach, we find that Rashi introduces this parasha in a way that he never ever introduces a parasha like he does here. He starts off this parasha, Vayikach Koirach, Parsha Zu Yofe Nidreshes B'Midrash Rabbi Tanchuma. What is that? This parasha is beautifully expounded in the Medrash Rabbi Tanchuma. Why? Only in this parasha? It sounds like he's saying that Medrash Tanchuma is very nice in Parashas Koirach. Other parashas, they're not so great. Here it's beautiful. Why? First of all, you're not even supposed to say that. The Gemara says in Erev, you're not supposed to say Shmua Zu Noe, Shmua Zu Eina Noe. The whole Torah is Yofe. What do you mean? This Parsha Zu Yofe Nidreshes. And there's another question. Parsha Zu Yofe Nidreshes? Drush? Since when is Rashi into Drush? Isn't Rashi a Pashtun? Rashi says, Ani Lai Basi El Lefarej Pshutai Shel Mikra. Rashi's not into Drush. Rashi's not a Darshan. But Parsha Zu Yofe Nidreshes B'Midrash Rabbi Tanchuma. If you take a look, most of the quotes that Rashi brings here, or a good part of it, is from Midrash Rabbi Tanchuma. So what's Rashi saying, and why is it important, this introduction to the Parsha? Because Rashi sees the depth of Parsha's Koirach. Rashi knows that Al Pi Pshat, Koirach is a fartig. Al Pi Pshat, it looks like Koirach is doomed. And he has no Olam Haba, and he's swallowed up alive into Gehenna. And as the Shalom says, he's still alive burning in Gehenna. So it looks like there's no tikkun for him, and certainly not the dasan va'aviram, and it makes no sense, and it sounds like Koirach is a Russian, he's arguing against Moshe Rabbeinu for no reason. But if you go a little deeper, if you go into the Olam HaDrush, and certainly if you go even deeper than that, you will see that a lot lies here. Parsha Zu Yofe Nidreshes B'Medrash Rabbi Tanchuma. Tanchuma is Miloshen Tanchumen. Tanchumen means in the world of comfort. In the world of Mashiach, Menachem Meshev Nafshi, in the world of Mashiach, the comforter of the world will understand this parsha. Then Koirach will be right. Parsha Zu Yofe Nidreshes in the world of Rabbi Tanchuma, in the world of Tanchuma, La'asid Lavoi. And Rashi uses the word Yofe, not only here, but he says it again later. He says that Koirach sees Shmuel coming out of him, but as Rashi says over here, Loira Yofe. He didn't see it beautifully. What does Rashi mean? Lo ro'a yofe. He saw, but he didn't see right. He thought that he's going to be saved because he saw all the lineage coming out of it, but he didn't see right. He didn't realize that his children were going to do tshuva. So he didn't see it yofe. Moshe ha'yaraya. Moshe did see. So getting back to what Avodas Yisrael says, that people vinch on by a shidduch that the zivug should be oile yofe, says the Avodas Yisrael. Today, the zivug, that means kutshe b'richu shchinte, the two names of Hashem that we have to have in mind by every time we make a bracha, and every time you say Yud Kei Vav Kei, and this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, it's not just Kabbalistic, it's Beferish and Machaber, that the Torah speaks about it, that when you say Hashem's name, you have to have in mind two things, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hayoi V'Viyeh, and Aleph Dalud Nun Yud, that Hashem is the master, Agnus, that's how we read it, and that Hashem is, was, and always will be, Hayoi V'Viyeh. That's the combination of Yud Kei Vav Kei and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which if you combine the two, it's equal to 91. That's equal to Amen. When you say Amen, you're supposed to have that in mind. Amen, the Gematria 91, that's 26 plus 65, Yudke Vavke, plus Adna. That's Yichud Kutcha Berichu Ushechinte, that's what that means. That's the Zivug of Hashem with the Shechina together, not going into that Barichus, but that's what you're supposed to have in mind when you say Hashem's name. But that's now. Says the Avodas Yisrael, in the future, Hashem's name is going to have an Aliyah. Vayoyim hahu yihiyeh havaya. Yihiyeh. That yudke vavke becomes yudke fyudke. That's what he brings out from the Arizal. Vayoyim hahu yihiyeh havaya. That means yudke vavke, which is 26, moves up to 30. Yudke yudke is 30. So if you add that, at that time then, the zivug will not be 91, the zivug will be 95. That's the mispah 95. 95 is the number associated with la'osid lovay. That's how many psukim Parshas Korach has. That's Daniel, huh?
It's also
Yafet. Yafet, right. That's what we're going to get to in a minute. That's what he says. We vinch on every chasen and kala, because every chasen and kala is a metaphor of the ish v'ish zachu shechina shuri b'enehem of yichud kutcha berichu shechinte, which the culmination of that will be la'osid lovay. That it should be oile yafe. It means it should be begamatria yafe 95 and not 91. Because la'asa it will be 95. So Rashi is saying, Parshazu yafe nidreshes b'medrash Rabbi Tanchuma. Yes, in the world of yafe, this is the way it will be. Kairach will be right. Everyone will be a Kayan God. The Moshe Rabbeinu himself says to Kairach, Afani roitze bekach, Rashi brings it. I also want it. There's nothing wrong with wanting it, but you can't do anything. You can want Mashiach to come, but you can't do anything to make it happen physically. That you can only daven. You can be doichik as hakeitz. You can't push it more than davening, which is a topic in itself, which is what Korach is trying to do here. Parshazu yofen, Moshe Rabbeinu, so that's why Rashi says, loira yofe, he's wrong. It's not the oilam hayofe yet. It's not the future yet. Instead, what happens over here is, vatiftach ha'aretz as piha. Piha is the same letters as Yofa. Yofa becomes Piha. He ends up being swallowed up. He doesn't belong in this world. He can't be here. He's from the Olam HaTikun. Kairach really is from the Olam HaTikun. But he can't be here because we're not holding there yet. So he goes under the ground. But he will come up. Moirid Sha'ol Vayoal. As the Mishnah itself says in Sanhedrin, according to that opinion, he's going to come out. Not only him, but Dasan and Aviram with him. Because Yaakov Avinu already was misakin Kairach by not mentioning his name in the first pasuk, as the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, and by saying to Reuven, after he says, Shnei Bonai Tomis, Bechi Bonav Heim Veloi Bonai, that includes Dasan and Avira. So now it all fits, because Tamuz is Reuven. And what happened to Reuven happened to Tamuz. That also happens to Kairach. Tamuz is also swallowed up. Tamuz is also in Gehenim. Tamuz is in Golas. That's when the Golas begins, Shavasa B'Tamuz. Tamuz is a very difficult month, at least it was a difficult month. We hope this year it won't be. And just as Kairach V'Adosai will come out, Moirit Sha'ol V'Yo'al, so will Tamuz. Tamuz is B'Gematria, Soimech Hashem L'Chol HaNoifelim. It will have a smicha from its nefila. Tamuz is also B'Gematria, what Yosef says to the brothers, Elohim Chashava L'Toiva. You thought it's bad, but Hashem had it in mind for good. We see Tamuz as Bechitzonius, at least. We see Ra, we see Churban, we see Golus. Bepnimius, it's Geula. Tamuz is also B'gematria Melech HaMashiach. Because Tamuz, Bepnimius, the Nitzutz of Tamuz is Geula. Tamuz is when it was supposed to happen. The Olam HaTikun was supposed to start in Tamuz with the receiving of the first Luchais. It's not going to happen. It's not going to go to waste. Whatever was supposed to happen is going to happen. The fact that it fell, as we mentioned many times, only tells us how high it really is. The fact that the next 2 months, Tamuz and Av, had such a Yerida, is only because they're going to have a tremendous Aliyah. And because the potential, it was supposed to be, that's what's going to happen in the future. That's what Korach was trying to accomplish. That's why, who did he take with him? He took with him from Shevet Reuven Dafka. He wanted to be Mesaka and Reuven. Reuven lost the Bechayri. He took with him Elitzor ben Shederov Achaveirov. Those were the greatest of the Talmidei Chachamim. Those were the firstborns. He said he wants to be Mesakin, that the firstborns should have the Bechayra restored. The Arizal, the only source that they find in Svarim, because everyone brings down that in the future, the firstborns are going to be reinstated. So everyone asks, where does it say that? Because in our parasha, we learn about the Nitzchius of the Kahuna, the whole passion after the story of Korach, is to solidify the Kahuna with the Chavdal of Matnas Kahuna, Melach Bris Olam, it's forever. So the, what is, whoever said that the Bechayrim are going to get it back? So the Emma says the Makar for it is the Arizal in Yecheskel, on the Pesukim where it talks about Kohanim Alevim Bnei Tzadok. So there he talks about it, and he says there that La'osid Lavai, the firstborns will be reinstated. And it makes sense, because if the Chet HaEgel is rectified, so the firstborns should get back what they were supposed to have. In the Olam HaTikun, the firstborns will once again serve. Korach was a Bechor. Korach was the Bechor of his father Yitzhar. And he's from Shevet Levi. And he joins with him Reuven, not just because Oyla Rosh of Oyla Shechem, as Rashi brings down, which is also true. But the fact that he joins with Reuven, because Reuven has to do with this. Reuven is Pachas. Reuven's Mida was, he was impulsive to begin with. That's what Yaakov was scolding him about, this Pachas. Pachas is also the Gematria 95. Pachas is also 95, but it's 95 in the wrong place. Daniel, that's why the word that the Svarim use here to remember how many Psukim Pashas Korach has, is Daniel. What does Daniel have to do with Korach? We know that Daniel is the Sefer of Geula. Daniel is where it says the Geula is going to happen. And the Metzudas David brings down that before Mashiach comes, we're going to see clearly the case. That's what the Metzudas David says. Metzudas David says, it's hidden, and no one ever figured out, but when it comes the time, and when we get near to it, he says, we're going to all be able to see with our eyes that the case is about to unfold. And perhaps that's what's happening right now. Because anyone who's following the news, anyone who realizes that from day to day, things are happening very quickly. It was Russia and the Ukraine, and now it's Iraq and it's Syria, and then before you know it's one city after another being taken over by we don't know what they are, but there's certainly something which is not to be passive about. What's going to happen, no one knows. We're not Nevi'im, but clearly it's the sixth year, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, B'shishas Kailos. B'shishas Kailos means that in the sixth year, right before Shemitah, B'shvias Mulchamos, they're already talking about what this could lead to. B'shishas Kailos, Shvias Mulchamos, Tavshanayin Dala, Tavshanayin Hay. Certainly this has to wake us up. Because it looks like what Korach did before its time, now is the time. And we're about to enter the Olam HaYafa, and we have to be mispalel, of course, that there shouldn't be any Chevlei Moshiach, that there shouldn't be any, as Sadiqim used to say, it should be Bechesed Uverachamim. Bechesed Uverachamim. But clearly the Geul is upon us. Everyone is saying that now. It doesn't matter what group you belong to, it doesn't matter what part of Klal Yisrael you belong to. Rav Chaim Kanievsky is saying it, I heard weekly, and one after the other, making very interesting, strange comments, that it's here already. He says Mashiach is not only by the door, he already entered the door. He went to Kever Rochel last week, no one knows why. Tzadikim amargish, they feel, they see, they feel, and even we who are not, as the Metzudas David says in Daniel, at the end, in the last parak, everyone's going to be able to see it with their eyes. You're going to start to be able to see that this is it. And who knows if this case that has been revealed in the recent weeks, as mentioned here last week, on the pasuk we have Ha'elef u'shva ha'meyos v'chamisha v'shivim, which is Hey Elef, chamisha, which is 5,775, that's Tavshanayin Hey. Svarim already spoke, have written this in previous years. This could be it. A person asks, we have to be ready. Ready means, obviously, preparing ourselves. Beruchnias, davening better. Perhaps this is a nice rotzen now, that everyone's davening for these three bachurim. That itself is a tremendous ace rotzen. And an achter so far, many shuls that I've gone to, after every davening, that's everyone is saying Tehillim. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zel Lazeh. We don't know who those three boys are. Doesn't matter. Avos Yisrael is, even to Jews that you don't know, even to Jews that are far away from us, that we don't know who they are, but everyone is concerned, everyone feels. Kol Yisrael joining together. 40,000 went to the Kosel in recent days to daven for these three boys. That itself is a tremendous chus. But hopefully our tefillos will be in the skabel, and the three boys will be returned safely. They'll be zeichet to pidyon shvuyim. And we should all be zeichet to pidyon shvuyim, all of us. We should all be zeichet that this chaydash of Tammuz, the Svarim say that Tammuz is Rosh HaTevis, Zmanei tshuva memashmashim uboyim. Zamane tshuva memashmashim uboyim. The times of tshuva are rapidly approaching. That's what the Svarim say that Tammuz stands for. What does that mean? What is the Zman of Tshuva? But Pasha says it's Elul and Tishrei. So why are we talking about Tshuva already in Tammuz? Because Tammuz is the Chodesh of Reuven. Reuven, says the Medrash, is the first one to do Tshuva for his Chet of Vayishka Bezbila Pilegesh Aviv because of the Pachas. Reuven did Tshuva for the Pachas. Reuven, that's why the Navi Hosea is a descendant of Reuven. He's the one that says Tshuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Alekecha. Reuven did tshuva. So Tammuz is Reuven. The idea of tshuva is to make it to be mahape, v'nahape chu. This Shabbos is Chav Gimel Sivan. Chav Gimel Sivan is mentioned in Megillas Esther. That's the day when they sent out the second batch of letters so that the Jews could defend themselves. That's the v'nahape chu. V'nahape chu was Chav Gimel Sivan. That's this Shabbos, Shabbos Mevarachim Tammuz. The Arizal also taught us that the Tziruf Shem Havaya of Chodesh Tammuz is the last letters of the words V'zeh Einenu Shoyveli in Megillas Esther. Why is the Tzir of Shem Havaya of Chodesh Tammuz in Megillas Esther of all places? It should be in Eicha. Why is it in Esther? Purim was of an Ahapachu. Adar was also a very sad month at one point. Adar was the month of the Avelus of Moshe Rabbeinu. And it was Nishapach, V'na Ahapachu, Asher Yishal to Ayehudim B'Sainehem. And there's plenty of sunim that we have now. Chalila, if this spreads in the Middle East, there's a lot to worry about if this spreads. Well, we're not supposed to worry, but there's what to be concerned about. So this Shabbos is Chav Gimel Sivan, and the Tzir of Shem Havaya of Chodesh Tammuz is in Megillas Esther to be meramis to us that the goal is to be mehapech Tammuz, like what happened to Adar will happen to Tammuz, and Tammuz is going to turn around, and Tammuz is going to be the month that it was destined to be, the month in which we were supposed to receive the first luchas and enter into the Olam Atikun, which is where Kairach wants to go, where Kairach wanted to lead us wrongly because it wasn't the time yet. Therefore, for him, it's a chait gadol that to reconcile the pshat with the drush. That lofty intentions and great kavanas. But the fact is, it's against Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not the time, and that's it. So therefore, just like with the Meraglim. The Meraglim also had lofty intentions, as mentioned last week, and they didn't want to go into the Olam HaMa'aseh. And as the Svarim say, the Kairach deduced from that, that the Iker is Ma'aseh, not Machshava. So when it comes to action, everyone's the same. Kicholoi, the Kulam Kedoshim, the Vesachim Hashem. The Meraglim went the other way. They felt the Iker is Olam HaMachshava. They didn't want to go into Olam HaMa'aseh, as mentioned last week. So they all had lofty intentions, and they're all great. But the bottom line is, if it's against what Moshe Rabbeinu says, it's a chait. And for that, we suffer ad hayoyim. So the tikkun now for Chodesh Tammuz is to rectify that, not to do things on impulse, and to do things with machshava, and to know what we're doing, and of course, to follow whatever the Das Torah is. Everyone has their Das Torah today. There's no one unified Das Torah. We don't live in such a time today that one could say that everyone has to follow one Gadol. Everyone has their Gadol, their Rav, their Rabbanim that they have to follow and do what they say. And that's Chus, in the Chus of Achdus Yisrael, in the Chus of Avas Yisrael, we should be Zeichet to Taka Ki Chol Ha'eda Kulam Kedoshim V'Seichem Hashem, because that's how it's going to be in the future. And as the Arizal said, Tzadik HaToma Yifroch HaSeifer Tevis Kairach, that in the future Kairach will have an Aliyah and will be the Kohen Gadol. And we should all be Zeichet to the Keitz HaYamin, which is in Sefer Daniel, which is one of the reasons why Daniel is used as the remez to figure out how many psukim there are in this parasha Kairach of 95 psukim, which is the number associated with Sela. Sela is also equal to 95. Sela means eternity. In the world of eternity, which is Sela, Netzach Sela Voed, how many Mizmeirei Tehillim end with the word Sela? Because Sela means, that's the Olam, that's the future. That's the future when there's eternity, that's Sela, that's Netzach, that's Nitzchias, Tammuz. A different time, we'll see Tammuz is the fourth month, which is the Midah of Netzach, which is the fourth Midah of fourth sphere, which is eternity, connected Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why you find everyone's arguing with Moshe Rabbeinu in the parashiyos that I read Dafkin Chodesh Tammuz, which is connected Moshe Rabbeinu, which is connected Netzach. We should be Zeicha to be reunited with Moshe Rabbeinu, who's Goyal Rishoyim, who Goyal Acharoyim, and may it happen soon so that we shouldn't have to fast Shavuos in the Tammuz. We should all be Zeicha to spend this week in Yerushalayim HaKodesh with the three Bachrim released from captivity, together with Kairach and Dasan and Avira.
For those of you who do catch up online, with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.